lightning flash across the sky, His mighty power I see. And I know if He can reign on high, His light can shine on me. I've seen it in the lightning, heard it in the thunder, and felt it in the rain. My Lord is near me all the time. My Lord is near me all the time. When the thunder shakes the mighty hills and trembles every tree, then I know a God so great and strong can surely harbor me. I've seen it in the lightning, heard it in the thunder, and felt it in the rain. My Lord is near me all the time. My Lord is near me all the time. When refreshing showers cool the earth and sweep across the sea, then His rainbow shines within my heart. His nearness comforts me. I've seen it in the lightning, heard it in the thunder, and felt it in the rain. My Lord is near me all the time. My Lord is near me all the time.
Hebrews in chapter number 11. Now, we've talked about faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And talked about the fact that the Bible says, by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And God gave them a good mark on their report card. And that's something I would love to have. I never managed that in school, but I would like to have a good report card from God. And so we talked about then Abel and then Enoch. And then Noah, and then he kind of pauses at Abraham and gives a little bit of, lingers a little bit at Abraham, who is the father of faith. And then he comes down, and in the midst of that, he mentions Sarah. And I started to preach on Sarah this morning, but I'm trying to speed up this morning. But the thing about Sarah, the great thing about Sarah, you know, Sarah, when she started, I mentioned this the other night, Sarah didn't start out too well, because when God said that she was going to have a child, she laughed. And you say, well, she shouldn't have laughed. Well, you know, if you think about what God had promised her, you know, you might have thought the same thing and said, well, there's a fat chance that'll ever happen, you know. God said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And evidently, Sarah took that to heart. And must have thought within herself, boy, He really intends to do this for me. You know, sometimes our faith doesn't lack because we don't think God can. We just don't think He really would. And so, make sure that thing's picking up here. Got them both on? Yep, okay. Maybe I'm mumbling again. Maybe it's because I got a frog in my throat. Maybe that'll help. Maybe see if I can drown him here. But anyway, Sarah got a good mark on her report card, because when it came down to the end, God said, by faith, Sarah received sink. Aren't you glad that it's not always how we start out? Sometimes we think, well, we've started out so poorly. Hey, Sarah might have started out poorly, but she ended up well. And that's what matters after all. And it's how we end up. And so through faith, in verse number 11, through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And then verse number 12, therefore sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And then it talks about Abraham offering up Isaac, and we talked about that last week. And then verse number 20, it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top, upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And you'll notice now, it seems like the author's picking up pace now. He's coming down to the end. He's trying to run on to it. He's going to pause just a little bit when he gets to Moses, but then he's going to come on down to verse number 32, and he says, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and all these others that he's going to list, and even the ones he didn't name by name. And so he's beginning to pick up pace there because he's coming, trying to get him to the next point. And you say, well, what's the next point? The next point is found in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, who is that great cloud of witnesses? Brother Luke had mentioned it the other day when he preached on this. He just listed that great cloud. He said, look at all these. All these are proof for you and I that we can walk by faith and know that God was going to take care of us. And so, but you notice in verse number 20, verse number 20 says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, if you'll notice in the Bible that there's only about three chapters that's dedicated, and not three full chapters, that's dedicated to Isaac. And very little is said about Isaac's life. But there's something that is said. One of the things that is said is those his neighbors, those people around him said, we understand now that thou art the blessed of the Lord. He said, the God that was your father's God is your God, and the blessings that laid upon Abraham laid upon you. And in Isaac, you see a man who followed in his father's footsteps. And there's not a whole lot God really needed to say about Isaac, because if you look at Abraham and you see what Abraham's like, you'll know what Isaac was like. And that ought to be true of you in our lives, by the way. When people look at the Lord Jesus Christ and they look at what he was like, and when the Bible says that we beheld his glory full of grace and truth, when they behold his children, what they ought to see? They ought to see you and I, whose lives are full of grace and truth. We ought to follow in our Father's footsteps. He is our Heavenly Father. Our elder brother, Jesus Christ, walked as his Father walked. He told Philip, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And people ought to be able to look at us and say, if you've seen them, you've seen Jesus. That ought to be the way it ought to be. We ought to be so much like him. And so, very little is said about Isaac. That statement is said. But then it said that he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You say, well, I thought he only blessed Jacob. No, he blessed Esau too. Esau just did not get the promise that was delivered to Abraham. But Jacob blessed, or Esau, or Isaac blessed Jacob. And when Esau came in and said, now wait a minute, Father, I'm the eldest. Now, that actually belongs to me. Isaac looked at Esau and said, I blessed him and he shall be blessed. Evidently, Isaac saw deep enough that that inheritance was going to come through Jacob. Evidently, he understood that Jacob, though he went about it the wrong way, must have had a heart for that blessing and the God that came along with that blessing. And so Isaac saw things that maybe you and I don't see. You know, if you listen to modern preachers, they'll criticize Isaac and say the reason that Esau and Jacob turned out the way it was because Isaac was such a poor parent. The problem is God doesn't say that. God doesn't say that Jacob and Esau turned out the way they were because Isaac was a poor parent. But it does say, it does tell you that Esau was profane. He wasn't raised to be that way, but he was. It's funny that people, we have a tendency to lay a lot of things on people that God doesn't lay on. I heard a fellow preaching the other day that the reason that Samuel's parents, you know, when Israel rejected Samuel's sons as being judges in Samuel's place and desired a king, they said, Samuel, your children don't walk like you walk. And the preacher said it was because Samuel was such a terrible parent. Well, that's an awful big charge to lay against a man that God said, listen, even if this man, as great as he was to pray for this people, I wouldn't hear. God put Samuel way up there. I think it's time that you and I, we learn to be careful about our criticism. Because we don't see everything that God sees. And so, just in case you're wondering, well, why did Esau turn out the way they did? Because he chose to. Why did Jacob turn out the way he did? Because he chose to. He didn't always do everything right, but he had a heart for what was right. He had a heart for God, and God blessed him because of it. That much is evident. And Esau, you know, as a matter of fact, Esau was perfectly happy once he got rich. He didn't care nothing about that God anyway. So, like I say, let's be careful with our criticism and look at people's heart and then try to help people. Boy, I tell you what, we do a lot better trying to help people and encourage people than we do criticizing them. And by the way, if you're a parent, you've got enough trouble trying to raise kids without somebody criticizing for you for how you do it. And I can tell you right now, you say, well, preacher, how did you learn to raise kids? I learned it from my mom and daddy. I raised my children the same way my mom and daddy raised me. You say, why was that? Because that's all I knew. You know, you say, well, what about all these books about raising children and all those things? I couldn't afford those books. That's just the honest truth. And by the way, those books don't tell you what to do if you do what they say and they don't turn out the way you say they're going to. You know, people who criticize can write good books. But everybody's different. And everybody don't always turn out the same way. And so we just need to be very careful about our criticism. We talked about a little bit of that in Sunday school as well. But just be careful with our criticism. And especially these great men of God. I'd be very careful. You know, I've heard preachers say that, you know, you've ever heard people say, well, you know, Paul and Barnabas had this argument, and, you know, Paul was right and Barnabas was wrong, because Paul was mentioned all throughout the book of Acts and Barnabas is never heard of again. Well, if you go by that, Isaac must not have been much and Jacob must have been somebody great. Jacob was a conniver and all that kind of stuff, but there's more written about him than there is about Isaac, his father. But the fact is, that man that they said that was right and Barnabas was wrong was the one that said, bring John Mark with you. Told Timothy to bring John Mark with you because he's profitable to the ministry. Do you know why John Mark was profitable to Paul in his old age? Because Uncle Barnabas took care of him when he was young. And when Paul said he can't go with us because he chickened out last time and I'm not going to take a chicken with me, Barnabas took him and made a man out of him. And Barnabas may not get all the credit that Paul gets, but I imagine the story is going to be different when we get to heaven. So let's we don't see like God, so let's be careful with our criticism. Then, so you have Isaac. And again, not much is said of Isaac, but again, if you've seen Abraham, you saw Isaac. And then you have Jacob. But by faith, Jacob, when he was cut, was a die. Now, if you follow the life of Jacob, you know a lot of the life of Jacob was nothing but one scam after another. But Jacob got scammed. He learned the hard way. Well, what you sow, you also reap. But Jacob comes down to the end now. And he gets down to the end. And by faith, the Bible says he blessed both the sons of Joseph. That's Manasseh and Ephraim. He blessed those two sons, and see, he gave them to Israel. He said, now Joseph, you're here in Egypt, But these two sons of yours, they're going to take your part in the nation of Israel. You know what Joseph or Jacob was looking forward to? He knew they weren't going to stay in Egypt. He knew God had made Abraham a promise. He knew God had made Isaac a promise. And he knew God had made him a promise that there was a land that they were going to inherit. And he said, now when they go into that land, I want your sons are going to go with them. This is going to be your inheritance. It's not going to be lost because your sons are going to go with them. He was looking forward to a land. And because he looked forward to that land, he spoke confidently about that land when he blessed those two boys. And if you and I are going to heaven, if you and I believe the promise of God that whosoever puts their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and is saved by His wonderful grace, that they're going to go to that land called heaven, they're going to go to that new Jerusalem, listen, we'll talk confidently of it. You say, preacher, are you going to heaven? I'm going to heaven. You say, how can you be so sure? Because God has made me a promise. That's one of those memory verses. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, what's that all about? That's God's promise, that if you put your faith and trust in him. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and when I come, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You say, where are you going? I'm going to the Father's house. You say, how can you say that? Because the Bible says, to as many as believed him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And that wherever the Father is, the sons are going to be there as well. And we can talk confidently about that place because of the promise. And that's the only reason that we can talk confidently about it. If it was based upon our works, I wouldn't have a chance. If it was based upon works, you would never know if you're going to that place until after you die. And then it'd be too late to find out. Or to do anything about it if you found out you were coming up short. Aren't you glad salvation's by grace? Aren't you glad salvation, that salvation is of the Lord? Listen, do you realize this morning that salvation... Let me back up a minute. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, when you and I were born, how many of us had any say-so of our being born? How many of us had a say-so in our conception? No, we didn't have any say-so. That was a thing of love between my father and my mother. That's why I'm here today. You know why we're going to heaven? Because of love relationship between God the Father and God the Son. God the Father said, I love this world. I love all of men. I'd love to save them. He said, now my son, he says, if you'll go and become a man and die for them, he said, I'll save them. And the son looked at the father and said, Father, I love you enough that if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. And so that's what he did. And the father looked at the son and said, I love you enough because you were willing to do this. All those that saved, you know what I'll do? He said, I'll give them back to you. These things that I love and cherish enough to give you to give my son for, he said, I'll give them back to you. You and I, when we're saved by the grace of God, we're a love gift from God the Father to God the Son. We're going to a place that we're loved and cherished. It's good enough to go to heaven. But I'm glad I'm going to a place that I'm loved and cherished. And that Jesus, the Son of God, said, my Father, it's my desire that those that you've given me be with me. That was his prayer. When you read his prayer in John 17, that's the Lord's prayer. That's what he was doing. He was praying to his Father. And he said, Father, I want those that you've given me. He said, I want you to protect them in this world. And then when you take them out of this world, I want you to bring them up here where I'm at. He said, I want them to be able to see all this beauty, all my glory, all that I had before the world was. He said, I want them to be able to see it and to be a part of it. We're going to somewhere where we're loved and wanted. All this world may not want us. You may talk to people about the Lord and they may scorn you and laugh at you and all those kind of things. If they don't, they probably just kind of raise their eyebrows a little bit and, you know, wink at other people. It's like, the guy's off his rocker. Listen, that's all right. That's all right. I'm going to a place that I'm going to be loved for all eternity. I'm glad of that. And so he blessed both the sons of Jacob in worship, leaning upon his staff. What was he worshiping? Why did he worship? because he knew God was true to his promise. He knew those two sons of Jacob. Joseph, he knew they were going. They were going back to that promised land. By faith, verse number 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph so believed the promise that God had given to his father Jacob that he said, now listen, when I die, you take my bones and you put them over in that promised land. You say, why in the world would he want to do that? Because Joseph was looking forward to a resurrection. And he said, when God raises me from the dead, I don't want to have to travel from Egypt to get there. He said, I want to already be there. I want to be there. And so they did. When Israel got ready to leave, you know what they did? They packed up Joseph's bones, took him, and buried him over in the promised land. And one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. The end's going to come. And God's going to raise the dead. He's going to raise the righteous dead. You know where Joseph's going to be? He's going to be in that land where the greater son of David's going to reign. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that? By faith. How did they do this? Why did they do this? Well, they did it by faith. They did it based upon the promise of God. And they evidenced that by saying, Joseph, as it is, I say, hey, take my bones over there. Then he comes down and he talks about Moses. Let me run Moses. By faith, in verse number 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Now, I don't know how in the world they knew all that, what all that entails. And some people say it was just because he was physically lovely, but you know how that is. Almost all babies are physically lovely. If you don't believe that, you let one walk in. And you know how to know a new baby's walked in the room? Just look where the crowd's at. Yes, you better believe it. Somebody's here, a little baby crying. If it's in the middle of the service, they're looking back there. And if it's not, if it's at the end of the service, they'll be back there. And I don't know what all that means, but evidently they saw something in Moses, and they said, "We don't care what the king of Egypt says. We're gonna raise this boy by faith." In verse number 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen, he was in line for the king. He was in line to be Pharaoh. And he said, listen, I don't want to be Pharaoh. He said, I want to go with the people of God. I know what God promised Abraham. I know what he promised Isaac. I know what he promised Jacob. And I remember the story of Joseph and all these kind of things. And he says, wherever that people go, I want to go. He said, if it goes by way of poverty, he said, so be it. If it goes by way of trials and tribulations, so be it. But I'm going to go with that crowd. And that's the way we ought to be. Jesus told us to take up our cross daily and follow him. It'll be worth it all one day. You know, last month we sang that song, It Pays to Serve Jesus. It pays every day. Now listen, not only does it pay every day, but it pays for eternity too. And so, I think that's by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let me say to you, if anybody tells you there's no pleasure in sin, they're lying to you because there is. The only problem is it's only for a short while. And then the bill comes due. And oh, what a bill. What a bill. Oh, listen, but when you serve Jesus, there's no bill coming due at the end. Matter of fact, there's a reward coming at the end. Just the opposite. Aren't you glad of that? And so, don't let anybody tell you there's no pleasure in sin. There are. If there were no pleasure in sin, we wouldn't be tempted to do it. I got news for you. You get run over by a car, there's no pleasure in that. That's why you don't see people out there jumping out in front of cars. If there was any pleasure in it, that's what they'd be doing. But there's no pleasure in it. But there is pleasure in sin. But it cost. And it cost dearly. But notice what he says. He says in verse number 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. You know why Moses was faithful? Because he knew there was a reward coming at the end of the line. You know why Christians are not faithful? Because they really don't believe there's a reward coming at the end of the line. They really don't believe that what they're going to receive in heaven is greater than what they're going to enjoy on earth. So they don't serve God. You say, well, I don't understand why people aren't faithful to church. Well, that tells you why they're not faithful. They're not faithful because they don't think it's worth it. If they thought it was worth it, they'd be faithful. You say, preacher, that's hard. That's mean. That's not hard. And that's not mean. That's just right. That's just right. You know, if you don't believe it, you look at how hard some people work at their jobs. You know why they work at their job so hard? Because they think if they do it and they impress the boss, they're going to get a promotion. But you know, and that might happen. But you know what? If you get a little economic downturn, you know what that boss is going to do? See you later, buddy. I don't need you anymore. God doesn't do that way. God's faithful. He's always faithful. And he always rewards in the reward. Paul's talked about that rewards. We talked about that before. Those the rewards that I can't even remember the two verses now. But talks about how the exceeding great reward. We're going to receive an exceeding great reward. Well, exceeding what? Exceeding all heartaches and troubles that we may have ever encountered. What we're going to receive is going to exceed that. Exceeding great in all that we can ask or think, God's going to do far better than that. And so Moses said, listen, I know what's at the end of the line. I know what's the end of the line for this nation called Israel. Right now they may be slaves, but that's not where they're going to end up. All they're going to end up, they're going to be the head of the nations. And when they're the head of the nations, I want to be there. And so he said, I'm going to go this way. And so by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You say, how did he endure? He saw God. You say, well, he didn't see God. He didn't see God with his naked eye, but he did see God. And you and I can see him too. You say, I have not seen or you heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him. But he didn't stop there. He said, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. You may not see it with the physical eye, but you can see it with the spiritual eye. If you'll only get in and dig in the book and find out. Listen, I got to try to finish up, I think, all the things I was talking about, positional truth, things that God did for us at salvation. I think I started on that. Anyway, but when you stop and read all the things that God's done for you in salvation, it's amazing. That's why the writer of Hebrews says he's able to save to the uttermost. And so anyway, let's see, where was that? By faith, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that touched the firstborn, destroyed the firstborn, should touch them. You know why he kept that? Because he believed God. You remember that in Egypt, when God said that I'm going to send a hail, and he said, now you tell them that the hail's coming. And he said, and the Bible says that everybody that feared God, they brought their cattle in. But those that didn't, they left their cattle out. And they left their servants out in the field. You say, why did they bring their cattle in and their servants in? Because they feared God. They knew what was coming. They knew God was faithful to what he said. And so Moses said, listen, if we don't keep this Passover, the destroying angel is going to come in and destroy the firstborn. And so he kept it. And Israel kept it along with him. By faith, in verse number 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians saying to do were drowned. You say, well, wait a minute, they passed through by faith? Yep, they passed through by faith. You said, but they murmured and complained. They did murmur and complain, but when God told Moses, tell them to stand still, they stood still. They didn't go back and say, okay, Pharaoh, we're going to bow down to you. They stood in their place. Fear and trembling. Listen, faith is not the absence of fear. If you think faith is the absence of fear, that's foolishness. It's just human nature to fear certain things. You know, if somebody tells me they're going to put me in a lion's den, and God tells me, listen, I'm going to take care of the lions, you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to believe God, but that don't mean I'm not going to be scared by in the process. You know, it's just, you know, there's just certain things that you just can't deal with your human nature. It just happens. You know, now some people might, you might be one of those ones. You might be one of those ones, like the little kids. I believe when, like I told you before, I believe when the little kids went across through the Red Sea, I believe they were going to poking in the water, poking the little sharks on the nose and saying, ha, can't get me. You know, but, you know, some people that way. Well, others went through wringing their hands, but you know, they all got through. They all got through. And so, when they come out on the other side, they should have been stronger in faith. So, anyway, they all passed through the Red Sea. Aren't you glad of that? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, you read the story of that. That just baffles your mind. They just marched around the walls there 7 times. And on the 7th day, they marched around it 1 time for the first 6 days. And on the 7th day, they marched around it 7 times. And God said, don't say a word. Don't say a word until I tell you. And that seems foolish. And I'm sure those people up there on the wall were laughing at them the whole time. Might have been throwing things at them, spitting on them and all that kind of stuff. But on that 7th day, how things changed. The walls fell down by faith. The harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, for when she received the spies with peace. And you know the story of Rahab. Rahab said to the spies, we know that God's given you the land. And she said, now you just make me a promise. She said, I'm going to hide you, and I'm going to send those people off the other way. She said, but I want you to make me a promise. You make me a promise that when you come, you'll save me and my house. And they told him, said, you hang this scarlet cord, you hang it outside the window, and you bring all your father, all your house into, and all the ones that are inside the house, and underneath that scarlet cord, she said, all those will be saved. The rest are going to perish. And the ones that believed God went in with Rahab, and the ones that didn't perished on the outside. Let's see, by faith. And verse number 30. What shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Gideon was the one who said, Lord, if God is with us, where's these great miracles? Of Barak. Barak, you remember? Barak was the one that Deborah said to him. Barak, hadn't God said to you, go down and do this? And he said, I won't do it unless you go with me. And she did. You say, well, I wonder why Deborah's not mentioned. She was the one that was of faith. Well, Deborah's going to get her reward. But Barak, what God is telling us, Barak is not going to be left out. Just because he struggled at the beginning doesn't mean that he was going to be left out. You can rest assured that each one's going to be. You know, people like Barak and Sarah, they're hope for you and I. People like Jacob, with all his problems, are hope for you and I. You know, so many times we think of, well, we're not like Joseph, and we're not like Abraham, and we're not like Isaac. You know, we don't have much of a chance. But what about people like Jacob? What about people like Sarah? What about people like Barak? What about like people like Samson? You know, Samson finally fooled around and had his eyes poked out and was end up running around a grindstone there. But God gave him his strength back one more time. These people hold out hope for us. And he goes down through there and he lists all these. And he lists them with David also and Samuel and of the prophets. And who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And on he goes. You say, well, why did he put all this in there? So that he could cut down to chapter number 12 and tell us, now God's put all this great crowd of witnesses around you. You can read over and over through the Word of God. You can read men who were strong in faith, men who struggled with faith. But everyone who trusted God received the promise. And you and I, if you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you'll put your faith in Him and call upon Him and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, God will save you this morning. And all the promises that God's made to us and that we'll talk about tonight will be yours. And you and I can go through life knowing that no matter what kind of trial or tribulation comes our way, that same God who was faithful to this great cloud of witnesses will be faithful to you and I.